Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose, and we have another great show for you today. I'm really looking forward to it because I'm meeting one of my good friends for the first time. Today I have Sincera Johnson, who will be joining the show, and we have been social media friends for I really am not sure how many years, but we have forged a relationship online. And so when she wrote me over the weekend to give me an update, I prevailed upon her, and she's a busy woman, and she agreed to be on the show for us today and for you, and she's dynamic, and we chatted just a little bit. I don't like to talk before the show because then sometimes we talk ourselves out or we talk about things, and just subconsciously I feel like, okay, we've talked about that, and I don't ask it on the show. So I don't think she's going to have any trouble with filling the time that we have here with her story. She is a writer who has made a transition to the faith world, and it's been an interesting transition, and she's going to tell you all about it. So it really has been a day of social media, and by that, I if you follow me on Facebook, I do 10, 11, 12 posts every morning to try and stir folks up and try to get them talking, and also to help people who follow me take advantage of this unprecedented time in human history. And one of the things, here's some of the things I wrote, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. For the first time perhaps in history, the worldwide church is united around where we meet, which is at home, and around a common purpose. How do we deliver our ministries in this new normal? And are we willing to learn from one and we are willing to learn from one another and not be so quick to judge one another. It's pretty cool. And as soon as you start talking about social media in the church, people think, okay, you're saying that social media is going to take the place of church. No, but in the place of church, it's the next best thing to being there. And also, when this ends, and I don't know what that looks like and when that is when it ends, the question is, how can we continue to maintain social media as a ministry? And so then I put part of the issue, I wrote church should not be a ritual, but a place where you go to celebrate your victories with him and others and get your tanks filled and your engine tuned for new adventures. I wrote persecution hit the church in Judea, so they went out to Samaria and found out that God was with them. Then the next sentence, pandemic hit the church worldwide, so they went out on social media and found out God was with them. Another post was, the church hasn't collapsed, hosting social media services, which will never replace the church, but social media can do a whole lot more than the church thought possible before the pandemic. And another post I had was, it is remarkable that God has sent the worldwide church home to ponder what it means to be the church. It's like the Lord say, class dismissed, everybody go home and take the summer off and come back in the next season ready to go to work. And my first post that I put up this morning is, if you've known the Lord for 20 years, you've heard at least 800 sermons, not including conferences, special events, books, recordings, radio, TV, internet, you probably don't need another sermon. You need the courage to apply what you know. And that's what we're going to talk about today with Sincera Johnson, courage and effectiveness and fruitfulness and creativity and who knows where all it will go. You know, in the last 24 hours, I've had several calls and emails from Kenya, a lot of stress, a lot of uncertainty, as there is here. There's no safety net there, and the economy is falling apart, and unscrupulous people are taking advantage of the times to earn some cash. And, of course, that's not unique to Africa. That's part of the human nature. Then had another call last night, and I had posted about this earlier in the pandemic of just people being at home and the pressures and special needs kids being at home and them being out of their routine and having absolutely no or very little concept of what's going on and why they can't get on the bus and why they can't go to school and getting upset and agitated and talking to some parents, and it's just been it's been a tough time for them. So I just encourage you to be mindful of our neighbors, be mindful of what they may look good, because you're only seeing them when they go to get the mail or when they put the trash out, but we don't know exactly what's going on. So be mindful of them and pray if God brings them to mind, and maybe he'll have you do even a little bit more than that. My work, publishing-wise, working on lots of manuscripts, as I've mentioned to you already in past shows, and more coming because people have the opportunity now to some time to work on some things. But even this time that they have, if they're anxious or stressed, they can't release their creativity. So, and that adds up. That's another thing. I know I'm supposed to get to this, but I can't even get to do that. And so, I'm just trying to where I can on Facebook and other places, just keep us moving forward and preparing for the new normal, which is going to be like nothing we have ever seen. Well, as you are aware, I start every show and every Facebook Live session with a reading of Psalm 91, and I have been choosing a different version to read from since we started this 6 weeks ago, and believe it or not, we haven't run out of versions. Now, Psalm 91 is not the best example of if you're looking for how the versions vary from one to another, because it's pretty straightforward. But I still like to read from the various translations. There are some wordings that are different, and I've had people give me some feedback that they heard something that they hadn't heard in some of the other readings. And so yesterday we read from the Revised Standard Version, the RSV, and I mean, what would the world be without a new Revised Standard Version, the NRSV? And I was comparing it to the Revised Standard Version, and there are some changes and some modernizations, but pretty much it still reads the same. And the title of this particular version for Psalm 91 is Assurance of God's Protection. So let me read this to you. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver, says the Lord. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. And as I have been saying for the last couple of weeks, we started reading this for medical protection. We may need it as much or more for economic protection and making our affirmations in the Lord that we are confident that he can take his people through this unusual season and provide for us in as only he can do. All right, well, that's it. Let's go ahead and bring my best social media friend on, and Sincera Johnson, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, tell our listeners. We've never met, have we? This is even the first time we've talked. Tell the story from what you remember of our journey together.
This is so amazing and awesome and a testament to the power of social media. I was thinking, from what I remember, I was on Twitter several years ago and doing these Dear God prayers. And I didn't start intentionally doing those. I started doing them because I was helping someone grow their social media audience. So I figured out Twitter. And then I started doing these prayers, and I didn't know that people liked them. And I would get responses from people like you. And, you know, sometimes people would say, when are you writing a book? And I said, I'm not. This is not what's happening. And so we started commuting initially on Twitter, and then there was a game. I can't remember. It wasn't Words with Friends, but there was another game that we had in common that we linked, and we became friends through a game, and then eventually through LinkedIn as well. So my estimation, I want to say that was 2009 or 2010.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that many years.
Yeah.
And I remember following you and being so encouraged and so inspired, because at that time I wasn't an author. I hadn't published a book yet, and just being so inspired by seeing you and the writing you were doing and the books that you were publishing and just your journey in general, and just continue to be inspired by you.
Yeah, I remember. I remember being someplace. I was in a hotel, and I was sitting or lying on the bed, and somehow I was talking about purpose, and you wrote me and asked something about Rick Warren, or you suspected that I was a believer, and that, you know, because I was talking a lot about purpose. Now that may be not exactly, and your handle on your address on Twitter is that writing chick, and
correct.
So
yeah.
I was intrigued because you were a writer, and you were intrigued because I was talking about purpose. And, you know, it's not like we tweeted or communicated every month even, but we connected from day one, if I remember properly.
I remember that. And the interesting thing about that, that you may know, I'll tell you now that you didn't know, I chose that writing chick because I felt like writing was a part of my purpose, but I had not, I didn't consider what I was doing even writing on Twitter. I was sending messages, but that was something I felt like it was an extended part of conversation. It was a way to communicate. And it wasn't until people were replying to those prayers and asking me, when are you going to write the book? Where can I read the book? That it clicked for me. But literally, when I chose my name on Twitter, it was like a self-prophecy. I wrote, made my name, that writing chick, because I wanted to become an author.
Wow, that's really profound. You know, I've done some teaching in cognitive areas of life and thinking and work, and there was a famous coach in Australia who coached tennis stars, and he assigned them the nickname according to the weakness of their game. So years ago, there was a very famous tennis player, Rod Laver. He gave him the nickname Rocket Rod because he was so slow. And then he did this across the board for all his students because he was having them make an affirmation about what was going to be and talk about it today as if it already is. And that's so fascinating that you did that, and you're now a writer. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm now a writer, and I'll take that a step further. It's funny, I was having a conversation with one of my friends recently how I want to literally, my name is Sunsara. It is Native American Indian, and it means morning star. And when I think about, for me, that means, you know, I was put on earth to praise God. And so I had a nickname, and I shy away from that nickname that people called me for many years. I shy away from the name that my family has called me for many years, and I intentionally have people call me Sunsara because I feel like they are calling forth the light in my life. And at some point, and maybe very soon, I'm considering just making my name Sunsara and omitting my last name for that reason.
It's like Abram and Abraham. God changed his name from Exalted Father to a father of multitude before he had any children. And because every time he said the name, he was declaring the truth that God had spoken to him. Sincera, tell our listeners about you, and tell me about you. where you're living now? just tell us some of your story.
Wow.
And we'll dive into portions of it as we feel led.
So now, at the time that we met, I was living in New Jersey, and 5 years ago, I relocated to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And it's funny that you mention Abraham, and I think of Joseph. One of the things that I like to say, which I found in my study of the Bible, because I feel like the Bible characters are so rich and so full, this is why I like writing about them and thinking about them, is that every movement of God was preceded by a physical move.
Mm-hmm.
So Abram
mm-hmm.
had to leave his family and had to relocate. Joseph had to relocate to become Israel. Every movement, great movement of God, before God does a great big thing, we're required to move. And so for me, that has been the case in my life. And I remember feeling that I needed to move, to leave New Jersey. I didn't know where I was going to go. I left it to God, and I had started my business in 2013 after a career in television production and then working for a company that had a bunch of YouTube channels, one of them which was Jay-Z's Life and Times, and then we had Meredith Vieira's Live as well. And so I started my own business doing for companies what I did for those channels. And I remember, I'm telling you, every move requires faith. Like, God will give you a command along with the move. Mm. So, like, with Abraham, he said, you need to leave your family. You need to leave your father's
mm-hmm.
house. He was very specific about that. And if you read, Lot was related to Abraham on his father's
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused some delays in Abram's journey
mm-hmm.
to becoming Abraham. And he got it eventually. But there were some hiccups along the way that were specifically because of Lot. So when God told me to move, when I knew it was time for me to move, I wanted to move where God wanted me to move. I knew it would lead to more speaking for me, more writing, more towards my purpose. And when I had surgery, I had taken a fall, and I had surgery. And after the stitches came out, I remember thinking, now, God, where do I want to move? I don't want to think about where I want to live. I want to think more about how I can live. And I can't swim, but I've always loved the beach. I love walking
mm-hmm.
the beach. For me, it's a more spiritual journey. It's more about my time with God. And so I
mm-hmm.
wanted to be somewhere near the beach, or at least in a warmer climate. I didn't want snow anymore. And my flesh said, so why don't you move to Nashville or Atlanta? They're both warm clients, and if your business doesn't work out, you can get a job as a television producer
mm-hmm.
easily in one of those two places. And I said, God, but that's not – God said, so you want a plan B? Because I need to be your plan A. If you got
mm-hmm.
a plan B, you really don't need me. So
mm-hmm.
I start praying about where to move, and one of my friends said to me, you need to move to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It will give you the kind of seclusion that you wanted, because that's the other thing. Sometimes God wants us alone and not to be around people. And
mm.
I felt that's where he was calling me to be. And so, long story short, I got on a plane and I came and I looked at two different places. And the place that I'm in now had everything that I asked God for, except that it was more money. The other place
mm.
was more in my comfort zone. And I did the fleece test. I went home and I prayed to God silently so the enemy couldn't, you know, trick me up
mm-hmm.
with his fulfillment. And said, God, I can't afford this place, but I feel like this is where you want me to be. I can see the ocean from my front yard. I can walk and commune with you. I feel like this is where you want me to be. If this is where you want me to be, I need you to give me a sign. And sometimes the prayer that I pray is, God, I need for you to decide, because I'm not capable of this decision. I don't want my
mm-hmm.
flesh to get in the way and my fears and
mm-hmm.
insecurities. So I prayed a very specific prayer and said, whoever calls me with the approval for the place first, that's where I need to be. This place called, the other place 5 years later still never called me. So I knew it was where it was supposed
mm-hmm.
to be. So then the next challenge was, am I making enough money? How, like, God, this business is doing okay. but how am I making enough money? And God said, take care of first things first. I need you to be faithful in small things. So one of the small things was I owed the IRS some money.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the IRS. I said, okay, God, I don't know what you're having me do. I called the IRS. I said, listen, I owe you some money, and I want to pay you. Can I make a payment arrangement? And when the woman gave me the amount, I thought the amount was like $36,000.
Mm-hmm.
The woman said, your total is $8,000, blah, blah, blah. And I said, wait a minute, it's what? And what I didn't realize that it had gone unpaid for so long, I had passed the statute of limitations for the IRS
mm-hmm.
to collect that
mm-hmm.
sum. So it had been significantly reduced. And I said, okay, I'll have it within 30 days. Don't know why I uttered it, but I did. And literally, before that time, I got the biggest campaign my business had ever had. And it was enough to pay off the IRS and for me to be able to afford to pay my rent here. So that's how I started
mm-hmm.
my journey here in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yeah, I've been begging the Lord to go back south, and he just won't take me. So I'm very jealous. And boy, you said so many things there. I love the piece about, you know, relocating. It's like God, he has to loosen you up. He has to get you in motion, you know, for us
mm-hmm.
to be listening more carefully and more clearly. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Sansara Johnson, my real friend through social media, and this is the first time
mm-hmm.
we're chatting voice to voice, and one day we're going to meet face to face. And Sansara
yeah.
is a CEO and a writer and a creative juggernaut. And tell us about the work you're doing now. Tell us about you've made the transition, and you got proved and confirmed that he wanted you there. Talk to us about some of the things you've been doing.
What I did the first couple of years that I was here, I was kind of like an introvert, like a hermit, and just doing the work with my company, Amass Digital, and we do advertising campaigns. The best way I can describe it is those annoying ads that people watch on YouTube. I place those for my clients. And there are people whose bills get paid using those. And I'm one of those people. So that's my bread and butter. But God has been calling me to write more. So I made a couple of friends here. And a year ago, I was honored at an event for being one of the most inspirational women in South Carolina. And that kind of opened doors to me. And I started taking advantage of opportunities that I had been in my shell and not taking care of, you know, hadn't been open to before. So now in the area, I speak to young children. I speak at different events, and I like speaking in particular to young people to let them know that anything is possible. I talk to them about going to college and going to school, and in particular, finding their purpose. And I remind them that sometimes the thing that we love to do may not necessarily be our purpose. Our passion and our purpose don't have to align with each other. Our purpose is the thing we were created to do. Sometimes our passion gives us a pathway to our purpose, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's the other way around. But I enjoy meeting them and helping them to figure out what it is that they want to do. So I do that within schools. I volunteer to tutor underprivileged children, and I'm also a full circle moment. Gosh, I am honored to serve on the board of directors for an amazing organization that services four homeless shelters here. And the reason why that's such an incredible blessing for me is because 30 years ago, I lived in a homeless shelter with my daughter. And for me now to be able to serve in that capacity is just phenomenal. So earlier this year, I did an event. I launched another organization called Minority Women in Business, and I have a good relationship. South Carolina is really, I got to say, South Carolina Department of Commerce, I have to say this, they are really phenomenal when it comes to small businesses and giving them the tools that they need. And so one of the things that I realized during a downtime in my business that there were some things that I could take advantage of that existed that I didn't know about. And so my mission now is to help minority women have access to those same resources and bring them in real time to connect with the community leaders. We did we had a key to the city presentation. We had a conversation about race. We had someone come in to talk about how to become a state-approved vendor. Those things are just as important to me as helping people find their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And talk to us about your writing. I'm seeing titles here in your bios, Talks with God, 30 Days of Inspiration for Entrepreneurs, Pray Like Hannah, Guided Prayer Journal, Dear God, Passionate Prayers, and 140 Characters or Less, Talks with God, 30 Days of Inspiration. Talk to us about how that's going and how that got started, and tell us about any of the projects you feel like talking about.
So the Dear God, Passionate Prayers and 140 Characters or Less came from Twitter. It literally was people kept responding and kept replying and saying, when are you going to write a book? And I'm like, God, I didn't intend to write a book. And he said, well, people ask me for a book. You need to write a book. You want to be a writer, don't you? Because that's the other thing. Sometimes we'll ask God for something and we may not be prepared or ready for it when it actually happens. So I compiled all of those texts one day when I realized that our Twitter archives became available. I sent a tweet to Jack, who was then, you know, the man at Twitter, and said it would make my day if you would release my archives to me. And I got a link that day to my Twitter archives, and I chose the tweets to make that first book, Dear God, Passionate Prayers and 140 Characters or Less. So it's the prayer and then the conversation that would ensue afterwards. And Talks with God, 30 Days of Inspiration for Entrepreneurs, literally was supposed to be like a little book, 30-day little book. But the more I started writing, I wanted to share my testimony, and I wanted entrepreneurs, especially in times like this, to know the real trials of being an entrepreneur, even when you're doing what you feel like God has called you to do. You know, you can be a successful entrepreneur one day, and the next day you can have an eviction notice and not know where the money's going to come from. You're trying to juggle a business and your bank account is in the red. You have family members. You know, some people are looking for family members to support them. I talk about branding. I talk about so many things that I've learned along the way in my journey as an entrepreneur. And it's funny because I've had friends read the book. I had beta testers read the book before I released it, and they kept saying this book is not just for entrepreneurs, it's for people in general. I talk about family relationships and how they don't always go well and how they don't always end well. And I talk about the truth of that, and I give biblical examples. I talk about I give the example of Sarah, how sometimes we rush to solve a problem and we end up creating the Ishmael instead, and we still get the promise of God, but then we got to deal with the consequences that we created by trying to solve our own problem when God has the answer all along. And I apply those principles to business and entrepreneurs, and I think it, in the time that we're in now in coronavirus, we're going to see a lot more entrepreneurs and a lot more of entrepreneurial opportunities. To any entrepreneur who's listening to this, who may be affected by COVID, coronavirus, I can just share with you personally, I was at my wit's end. I did not know what I was going to do. And John knows some of this because I've shared some of this intimately in detail. But I literally did not know what I was going to do. My business was already struggling right before coronavirus because you go through, you have ebbs and flows, and sometimes some seasons last longer than others. And just like in the natural, sometimes a harvest is bigger than others, and sometimes your harvest yields hardly any crop or rotten fruit. That happens. And so I was in that season of my life looking at an eviction notice, looking at so many things and crying out to God. And I literally made a declaration to God one day and said, you know what, God, I don't need an SBA loan. I don't need to get approved for any of these things. I just need one touch from you. I need something from you. And when I tell you that things turned around, I am now so busy in my business that I hired someone recently. God is opening doors and opportunities, not just in my business, but regarding an invention I have in so many areas of my life. Before I got on this call, I reached out to a woman who I want to be on my an advisor on my team, and I'm elated to have her. But she said, "You are really on a roll," and I said, "God is. God had the breakthrough even during coronavirus." So if you're an entrepreneur, whatever it is, do not give up. This is not the time to give up, because God is still performing miracles. Coronavirus does not impact heaven. You can still impact heaven during coronavirus. And that's not to minimize or make light of people. I have a heavy heart for people who are losing jobs, whose businesses are going to close and never open again, who have loved ones who have passed away from this virus, who can't attend the funeral of that loved one and mourn over them, because this is just so unknown to us. Like in your introduction, you're talking about going to church and how things are just not going. We don't know what a normal is for us. But one thing I do know is that God remains the same. He is consistent no matter what is going on around us. I urge you to keep the faith and hang in there, because I know what God will do. And when the funds came for me, it literally is not lost upon me that it was the last day of my lease, and it was 3 days before my court date.
Yeah.
God did it not when I thought I needed it, but when he knew it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. We talked yesterday. I had Irene, a friend from Kenya, and I've coined a term I call economic terrorism, and I've said if the enemy can't keep us from purpose, then he tries to starve us out, and God allows it, you know, because it tests us. It says in Deuteronomy, you learn that, you know, that man lives by every word that comes by the from the mouth of God, and so. But it purifies us. It strengthens us. We can't be intimidated after that, because we've looked down the barrel of a gun, and we've survived.
Right.
And so the next threat the enemy or someone utters towards us, it just doesn't matter. We can laugh at it because we have been through this. And I appreciate your encouragement to people, because I agree. I think God is stirring people up to do their own thing, so to speak, during this season.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be tested in it, and they're going to want to go back to what they knew, because it was secure. They forget how miserable they were, but at least they were getting paid on a regular basis. Let me ask you, as a creative person, you were going through all that tension. Were you still able to create? Can you separate your life, your segmented, like, you know, I am so stressed, or I am facing so many severe issues, heavy issues. Can you still produce?
So here's the thing about me. I seem to produce better. And for a long time, I used to tell myself, there are two different issues, two different things. For a long time, I told myself I work better under pressure. So I would wait until the last minute. I would procrastinate, you know. And so I had to get rid of the issue of procrastination. That book, 30 Days of Talks with God, that was born from my walks on the beach and my tears and my time that I spent crying out to God when I was in the wilderness, when I was in the desert, when a lot of people did not know that I was. And God speaks to me regularly, but there's something about him speaking to me in my brokenness that seems to impact other people more. So a lot of people get shut down and they can't create. It that for me, writing is the way that I seek God's face even more. And so I'll say this. I've never said this out loud before, because people may not understand it, but it's true. There are some times that I get so overwhelmed with the power of God's anointing on my writing that I can't pick up my Bible. Because I know if I pick it up and open it with a view to writing, the anointing is so heavy that I oftentimes I will sit down and write nonstop, and it's hard for me to stop until it's done.
Wow.
So
yeah, the anointing.
And what will happen is I become so engulfed in that and so immersed in that, I can almost forget daily life. Like I won't eat. I literally will go, it's 9 o'clock at night and I haven't eaten all day. So that's what happens for me. Now, on the other side of that, there's another creative side of me that's a screenwriter, television producer. What I find in those times, that creativity does go away. For lack of a better way to say it, the fun creativity, the fleshly creativity. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that my creativity when it comes to God, and I think it's because a lot of it is, I'm walking on the beach. When I come back from the beach, I'm inspired to write something based on my communication with God. I will take out my phone and write notes as I'm walking on the beach of what God is downloading or what he's saying to me. So when it comes to, like, I have a television series that I need to finish writing. Haven't felt like writing that. That's the stress part. But the way I relieve it now is I do a podcast called Praying the Psalm on Blog Talk Radio. It's so funny because your journey, I keep seeing these parallels. When you were saying you opened with Psalm 91, the first episode of that show of my podcast, I did Psalm 91, and I related it directly to coronavirus and how people want to go to church. And they want to disobey, and they want to go to church. And is that really what God wants us to do? Because if the building is more important than God, then what are you really doing? You know, what matters most to God? We can still convene together online. We can still, you know, study the Word of God online. And the Psalms are so important. I felt like they're so critical in this time that I wanted to do a daily, you know, quick 15 minutes of spending time in the Psalms, starting with a Psalm, talking about it, and then ending with a prayer. So it's so funny how in your journey, I remember when I was telling you when I was in my wilderness period of how, you know, I had the money, then I didn't have the money, and, you know, how your journey was so very similar to mine.
And I've also done a book on Twitter. I did a year's worth of sayings. Because I used to just put everybody else's quotes on, and then every once in a while I put one of my own on, and somebody would write and say, "Oh, that's a Stankoism." And what it really was, I didn't want to put my quotes. I only wanted to quote Winston Churchill because that was safe. But for a year, did my own quotes, and then I eventually published and called it hashtag Stankoisms, Wisdom for the Twitter Age. And it really, I don't know about you, it made me a better writer because I had to create something that had meaning, that was complete in 140 characters. And, you know, sometimes you have to play with it. You can't do Y-O-U. You have to just use the letter U. And that really, really helped me, not only as a writer, but in my confidence that I had something to say. And so, yeah, I think the purpose journey, when people start to trade notes, there are a lot of commonalities because God's ways, he wants us to know how he works, and he wants us to be able to recognize when it's him. And so, and that way we're also able to encourage one another. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Sincera Johnson, who is the CEO of Amass Digital, a digital advertising agency that specializes in running targeted digital co-branding campaigns for significant media clients, but she's really so much more than that, and we're honored that she could join us today. Tell us a little bit more about the podcast, what it is, and invite our listeners, how can they tune in, or how can they get tied in with what you're doing, and is it daily?
It's daily, and I recently made the decision not to do it on Sunday just because I need a break, but it's live 7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And it's called Praying the Psalms Daily, and it's also on the same platform as yours, Blog Talk Radio, but if they miss it, it's also syndicated to iHeart, it's syndicated to Spotify, to most of the majors. We're still working out some type of issue with iTunes, but it's on Google Play. But 7:30 in the morning, if you want to listen to it live, and I take the psalm. Another commonality with us is that I use different translations of the Bible. I think that's so important because some of them make the word so much richer and so much clearer. And today's episode was really interesting. I talked about David and Absalom, and I made the title when family preys on you, P-R-E-Y-S on you. And I talked about that relationship, and it was deep how, you know, David's son turned against him, and then the cousins, and how it just carried in the family. And I talked about that, and I like to bring that into the modern day context. Sometimes that happens to us, and what is our reaction and how to react to that. So for me, I felt like the Psalms are what got me through my challenging times. I developed a habit of using the Bible Gateway app audio when I go to bed at night and play the Psalms. And as I sleep, I listen to the Psalms, and the Message translation, which I listen to, it starts off every night I go to sleep. I lay down. The first thing I hear is how God must love you. And that's such a comforting thought to go to sleep to.
Sure.
But every day I talk about the Psalms and apply them to our daily lives. So they can listen to the podcast there. They can go to my website, sunsarahjohnson.com, and learn about my other books and everything else that I'm doing as well.
And Sunsara is S-U-N-C-E-R-A. Beautiful name, means morning star. I was going to ask you that, and you told us. And praying the Psalms daily on here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a great platform, isn't it? I just think this is wonderful and gives and it so connects us with the rest of the blog radio world. And I find people listening and writing me all the time who are not part of my usual sphere. So I really appreciate this platform. Go back a little bit for us. I mean, you were in Tall Cotton. I mean, you were in TV production for some significant names in a part of the country that everybody would want to get to and where the action is. And talk to us about how all that emerged, but then how you knew that it was time to move on when many would have circled the wagons and done anything they could just to hang on for a little longer.
So this is part of when I talk to people about their purpose. When I was 17 years old, my family and I went to see a movie, The Wiz, in the theaters. And there was a scene, Brand New Day, and I started crying profusely. Like, sometimes when I tell the story, I get emotional just thinking about it. And I just started crying, so much so that my mother had to take me to the back of the theater, and she said, "What is wrong?" And I said, "I should be there." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I should be there helping them make it." And she said, "Do you want to be an actress?" And I was raised in a very strict religion, which that wasn't an option. I said, "No, I should be helping them." I did not know what that meant. I didn't know anyone in television production. I didn't know anything. Several years later, when I was in my 30s, and this I hope this encourages entrepreneurs and people, it's never too late for God to do what he wants to do in your life. Several years later, probably another 17 years later, actually, when I was in my mid-30s, I was at a church, and a young woman was getting ready to move. She was relocating to Chicago, and she was going to work for Oprah's new network. And I said, "What are you going to do?" She said, "I'm a producer." I said, "Well, what does a producer do?" And when she explained to me what a producer does, I said, "Oh, I should be doing that in my spirit." That was it. About 5 years later, I had gotten laid off from a job, and I was looking for a job, and I went to a temp agency, and I had had some experience in the music industry. And the woman said to me, "They're hiring at a company called Viacom. You probably should go work for them." And I said, "I had never heard of Viacom. I didn't know. I was not aware." And she said, "They have a bunch of channels, MTV, VH1, And so I went on an interview, and I became an assistant in the ad sales department. And I loved the job. And at the same time, I had written my first screenplay, my first script. I went to this conference, and there was some interest. A lot of things were happening. But I just felt like I was not ready. And I've always had the issue of being insecure. And what I've had to learn is when God tells me to do something, do it. God, those are the people that God tends to call. If we think about Moses, when Moses didn't want to lead the nation of Israel, it was not about, due to a lack of faith in God. It was due to a lack of faith in himself, insecurity. So I got that job, and it was supposed to go permanent, and they hired my intern instead of me. And I bawled like a baby. God, why would you bring me here? Why would you do this? And one of the senior vice presidents said, you're going to do well. This is something better is in store for you. And 2 days later, I got a call, and they said someone needed an assistant over at MTV. And so I go on the interview, and when I show up for the interview, the young woman says to me, are you sure you have an appointment with so-and-so? And I said, yes. And she said, you're not on his calendar. I said, well, I have an interview to be his assistant. And she said, I am his assistant. And my heart sank. So I did the interview. And one of the things I teach in, I have a book called I'm Getting the First Page Already to Pitch. And I relate it to interviews and pitching TV and pitching ourselves in general. One of the things that I do at the end of, if you want a job, you want them to know how serious you are about a job, you ask them the killer question at the end. When would you like me to start? It catches them off guard, and more often than not, if they want you, they'll say to you, well, I still need to interview a certain amount of people or whatever. He instantly said to me, can you start in 2 days? So I knew I had the job. So, Selena, when I went back was that the young lady, I was taking a job from somebody, and I said to the young lady, I want to pray with you. Can I pray with you? And she said, how'd you get this job? I said, I've been praying and fasting for a way to get into production. Like, this is what God, I feel like this is what I want to do and what God wants me to do. And it's going to open doors in other areas. And it's part of my calling. So we prayed and we fasted, and she got another job. And she's working on phenomenal shows now. She's doing incredibly well. But I got that job, and I realized that he had 6 assistants in about 6 months. And I was determined to do the best job. And long story short, our relationship improved so greatly that I was doing things outside of work, and my boss literally came to me one day and said, what do you want to do here? And when I told him, he set up an interview, and I became a television producer. I literally went from assistant to producer. Which is, you usually go from assistant, there's a production assistant, there's a production manager, there's an associate producer, and then there's a producer. I went from assistant to producer. I give that credit only to God. And so then I started working in television. Then came the recession of 2008, 2009. That was about the time that I met you online. That's when I started Twitter, because I was in between and trying to decide what to do and whether or not God still wanted me to work in television. And while I continued to work in television, I developed some relationships that put me in the position to get the job at Jay-Z's YouTube channel that allowed me to start my own business, which gives me the freedom and flexibility to write and to do public speaking.
Wow. Wow. If you're just doing it, we're talking to Sincera Johnson. She's been telling us her purpose journey, and which has brought her to be the CEO of Amass Digital, right now living in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Sincera, what's left? What do you feel God is what's on the horizon? What are you preparing for? What's your vision for the future?
Wow. So I will give broad strokes. I won't go into detail, but God moved me here very specifically. There's a town that's very close to me that I've been praying over ever since I've been here. And I've been praying that God would heal the land. I literally have been praying 2 Chronicles 7:14 over that town for many years. And then God arranged for me to meet some people in that town. And shortly before coronavirus, I actually spoke earlier this year at a church in that town, and that's where I volunteer with the young people. So God has placed me, I think, to do some things in that town. And in conjunction with my invention and other things, they're going to pave the way and make the way for me to do this great big thing that I believe God has called me to do.
Wait, so you said there's an invention involved in there? I mean, you don't have to tell us
there's
the specifics, but
there's an invention, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the ironic thing about the invention, it's an idea that I had over 20 years ago. Again, God knows when the timing is the timing. And 20 years ago, and then about 2 years ago, I started working on it, got distracted, significantly distracted, but that distraction actually worked to my benefit because God was grooming me and teaching me things in other areas and disciplining me in some things I needed to get done. And this invention, now I've been asked to apply for some funding, some grant money, which will allow me to do the things that I believe God is calling me to do in this particular town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I always say I've been down and I've been up, and up is a whole lot better. And so
it sounds
like you're in a real up season, and we all would rejoice in that. And this is this show is Wake Up to Purpose. We want people to awaken to the understanding of the power that is in pursuing their purpose, because it is pursuing the will of God. We've got 7 or 8 minutes, and Sarah, you mentioned you're doing some work with minority women in business. Could you be more specific? And as we close, share what do you tell these women that may be coming into your sphere of influence or may hear you? Take a few moments and talk to them as they listen to the show.
Sure, I'd be delighted to. So Minority Woman in Business is actually a resource day. I started it initially here in at the Myrtle Beach Convention Center, and we held our launch event on February 10th of this year. And the plan is to take it across the country and to have it annually in different locations. COVID has kind of changed some things, so we may be more digital than actual in person. But the goal is to bring together aspiring, different levels of entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, you know, full-time entrepreneurs like myself, and to place them in the room with thought leaders, with resources, and with people who have exactly what it is that they need. So our keynote speaker this year was a woman named Stella Mercado, who's doing amazing things in the state of South Carolina. She has every minority designation just about that there is to have, and she specializes in getting her business has a significant amount of government contracting. A lot of small businesses don't think about the government as a client of theirs or as a way to make money. So she came in and she spoke and she really opened our eyes to the opportunities that exist within the government to make money for small businesses. We had I had a local college come in and talk about classes that are beneficial to entrepreneurs. South Carolina has a program called SE Codes, where anyone who lives within the state of South Carolina can learn coding. So the idea is to bring these entrepreneurs in direct contact with resources that are available specifically in their state, and it's in a local level, in a state level, and on a government level as well. We brought in someone to talk about how to get a small business loan, how to secure funding for your business when you're just starting up. So we like to get we do these things in real time so that they can walk away with something that they have learned or something that they have applied or something that they have done by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And do you do any teaching at all, or are you showcasing your gifts and talents?
I do, and I do that not just through Minority Women in Business. I do that in other areas as well. I'm actually going to be presenting later this month at an event that I'm really excited about. It's a South Carolina Education and Business Summit in July of this year. And what they do, my subject matter is going to be how to be well-liked, the art of the pitch. And there you're in a room with a bunch of educators and leaders, and they have the opportunity to see you present an actual workshop with the potential to teach it within the school systems and within the school districts. So I'm lining up my speaking calendar for the year. I am open for speaking engagements, but I am also developing through Minority Women in Business. We are going to be developing online workshops and online courses. I am going to start, I want to do something with writers. So I want to do pseudo mentoring where a writer I don't want to do the publishing. That's your thing. You can have the publishing. But I do want to get them through the process of, I have this book in me. What do I do next? So let's talk about the outline of the book. Let's talk about your story. Let's talk about what the end game is. And then to be honest about revenue, what you're expecting to generate in terms of revenue for a book, and the fact that your first several books may just be promotional items. For you to develop and build an audience and incorporate what I do with my clients, showing them how to develop a following and build an audience online.
Wow. So you got lots of irons in the fire, lots of things going on, and we all just believe for you that the best is yet to come. Just a couple of minutes left. Pandemic, what's the situation in South Carolina, and has it had any impact on your family?
Thankfully, my family has not been impacted. Several friends and their family has been impacted. Here in South Carolina, they're just starting to open up the state, but not fully opened yet. I typically walk the beach every day. I was disheartened when the beach was closed, but I understand the reasoning for it. It does appear now that people are starting to wear masks more. North Myrtle Beaches, I think, it's an amazing community. A lot of the people here are retired, so we do have a population that would be, you know, sensitive to getting it. We have in our county, I want to say we have a couple of hundred cases as of now, so we haven't been impacted, but we are on the list. South Carolina is on the list of hotspots. That's coming down the pipe. So I am preparing for that. I'm blessed that I'm able to work from home. I have seen the impact on, you know, parents. The children can't go to school. The school is closed for the end of the year. We have Myrtle Beach is the whole entire area is highly tourist driven. So the hotels were closed. You know, the restaurants. I have seen it breaks my heart. I only go out when I need to, but to see places that were thriving, you know, a couple of weeks ago, months ago, that are now closed for business. Went past Wendy's the other day, and they're not selling burgers anymore. They're like, there's a meat shortage,
right,
you know.
Right.
There are so many things that are coming that we need to be prudent and wise for. But I also do think that in this time, what's happening is there is an opportunity for people to grow. The fact that people are getting $600 a week more in their unemployment, some people are making more money than they did on their job. I think it's time for them to be prudent and wise with that money, because we don't know how long this is going to go on, and we don't know what's going to happen. But I think there are some opportunities that are opening during the time of this pandemic, and we need to be prudent and listen out to them and being open to them, but also being cautious as well and being aware of how our actions can impact our neighbors and our families, you know, taking the proper precautions, because these are some trying times. And I think one of the things that struck me the most about this pandemic, it's not just the United States.
Oh, yeah, it's the world.
It's the entire world, and that's a scary thought. I mean, when I first moved here in 2015, I traveled incessantly. So for 2 years, I traveled. Like in 18 months, I got like 13 passport stamps. And I still love to travel. I just don't do it as much as I used to. But the thought that if I want to take a plane to go to New Jersey to see my son, that's just not feasible right now. It just defies logic. I still can't wrap my head around what is happening.
And like you say, all the implications are yet to be realized and experienced. Well, Sincera, it's been a pleasure. It's about time that we connected. And thank you for your time today. Thank you for all you're doing and all the great things that you shared. And let's stay in touch. And again, SinceraJohnson.com is Sincera's website. I encourage our listeners to connect with you there. And keep me posted, and I will do the same for you.
Yes, and we'll meet in person one day.
It sounds good. Thanks. Take care. Be safe.
Thank you. You too.
90 seconds. Bye-bye. All right, there we had Sincera Johnson, CEO of Amass Digital, but so much more. Again, she is on this blog talk radio show every morning, 7:30, praying the Psalms daily. And again, Sincera, S-U-N-C-E-R-A, sincerajohnson.com. And looking at her website, I will post that to the homepage for this show to make sure that you can get in touch with her. Tomorrow I've got my friends from Africa Book Bags who will be on talking about some joint projects that we have going in Kenya. But until then, this is John Stanko signing off for another day and just encouraging you until we're together again tomorrow to wake up to the power of purpose in your life. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.